Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, here comes the judge.
Paul is writing to this church in Thessalonica, and they were doing well, but they were getting discouraged almost to the point of despair. So Paul wrote to them to encourage them and also to clear up some misunderstandings they had about the second coming of Jesus. Question today is, are you ready for the Lord's coming?
The second coming of the Lord will be joy for the righteous and terror for the workers of iniquity. These are blunt facts about the second coming of Christ. And Paul spoke very openly to the people in the church in Thessalonica. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and thank you for joining us on this Friday broadcast. One thing that will be clear today, the last days are coming. And in today's eye-opening lesson, Pastor Jeff reveals three discoveries concerning the Lord's coming to see if indeed you are ready for the return of the King. The message is taken from Pastor Jeff's brand new series, The Church in the Last Days. We'll be airing messages from this series for the next couple of weeks, so if you miss any, you can listen again online anytime at fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. Here's Pastor Jeff with the lesson entitled, Here Comes the Judge.
Now, I want you to do something with me. I want you to think about a victory that you have had in your life. Maybe it was in sports and something that happened that you played in a game. Maybe you hit the winning shot or something like that. Or maybe it was your team. You watched your team play the big game and they won, and it was dramatic and it was the thrill of victory. I want you to think about that. And then multiply that by a zillion. And then I want you to think about the agony of defeat. The worst defeat that you ever experienced, that your team ever experienced, where you were just so up for this event and it was a disaster. It was just your worst. You think about that agony of defeat and times that by a zillion. The book of 2 Thessalonians has so much to do with the second coming, with the events of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to this church, this special, special church. He had a special love in his heart for these people. They had responded to the gospel so well. They were pagans. They were worshiping idols. And then Paul came and preached Jesus to them. They responded to that. They turned from idols. They turned to Jesus. And they were growing in their faith. And they were growing in love. And they were persevering through the affliction and the suffering that they were going through as believers in a anti-gospel environment in Thessalonica, and they were doing well, but they were getting discouraged almost to the point of despair. So Paul wrote to them to encourage them and also to clear up some misunderstandings they had about the second coming, because someone had written a letter to them claiming to be from Paul, saying that they had missed the rapture and that they were in the day of the Lord, and they were kind of flipped out over this. And so Paul is writing to clear those things up. And at the end of chapter 1, after he praises them and says, I brag on you guys so much, then he talks to them about the second coming of Jesus. He says this in verse 4, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. Paul speaks very openly, very candidly, very bluntly about the second coming of Jesus. Joy for the righteous, terror for the workers of iniquity. Question today is, are you ready for the Lord's coming? Now, I want you to notice with me in those verses that we read, three discoveries concerning the Lord's coming. Discovery number one is this: at the second coming, Jesus will be revealed as Lord. Revealed as Lord. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, is what he says. Now, revealed is an important word. Revealed is the Greek word apokalypsis, from which we get our English word apocalypse. You know, the book of the Revelation, last book of the Bible. It's not called Revelations. It's Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We're letting you see Jesus in all his fullness, in all his beauty, in all his glory. Now, the first coming of Jesus, very different from the second coming of Jesus. The first coming of Jesus, Jesus came veiled. We sing that song at Christmas time, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity, with flesh. And Jesus had flesh, and the flesh hid his deity. So you could meet Jesus in the days of his flesh, and if you just saw him in a crowd, you wouldn't know, well, that's God in the flesh. Why? Because he didn't look like that. He was veiled. At his return, he is unveiled. You see him for who he truly is. You see him as God. But when you read the Gospels, the people didn't see him like that. Man, you had to get on the inside. You had to get close to him to understand that Jesus is God. You know, just as Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that has come from God, because no one can do the miracles you do unless God is with him. He recognized something, but they had a hard time because Jesus was the carpenter from Nazareth, and that just didn't compute. Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? See, he didn't look like God as far as outward. He just looked like a regular Jew. You know, it's interesting when you read the gospel accounts. None of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, none of those guys ever give you a description of Jesus, what he looked like. Nobody ever says, and you would have thought somebody would just thrown that in there. I mean, how Jesus was he's 5 feet 11. He weighed 175 pounds, 180 if he had a little more at the Shabbat. You know, I mean, he was about that kind of height, that weight. He had this build, his facial structure. Nobody tells you anything like that. The only one that comes close is Isaiah the prophet, who lived 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Isaiah says this, Isaiah 53, he has no stately form or majesty that we should be attracted to him. He has no beauty that we should look upon him. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is very ordinary looking in his flesh. Now, when he comes the second time, he removes the veil. He lets you see him for who he is, the God of the universe, creator God. And it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. Oh, when he comes again, everyone's going to know. He's coming with the mighty angels. He's coming in power and great glory. Interestingly, in his earthly ministry, one time, he removed the veil. He unveiled himself to his disciples, actually to just three of them, Peter and James and John. And the scripture says this in the book of Matthew. It says, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And then it says about 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them standing with him. The Mount of Transfiguration, that's where Jesus changed before them. That's where they saw his glory. And all of a sudden, there's Moses and there's Elijah. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And both the law and the prophets point to Jesus. And then the voice of God, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And great fear fell upon Peter and James and John. They saw his glory. Hey, when he comes again, every eye is going to see his glory. He's coming in flaming fire with the myriads and myriads of angels. We don't know how many there are, but no doubt there are millions and millions and millions of angels all coming with him. Wow, it is going to be something. You know, when Jesus came the first time, he was born in Bethlehem. He was laid in a manger. He came into Jerusalem at his triumphal entry, seated on a donkey. When he comes again, he's riding a white horse. Amen. The crown of victory is on his brow. He is coming in power and great glory. The first time he came to a cross. The second time he's coming to a throne. The first time he came as Savior to seek and to save that which was lost. The second time he comes as judge, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. So Jesus is going to be revealed as Lord. And as the scripture tells us in Philippians, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is coming at his second coming, at his return. Second discovery, at the second coming, Jesus will repay his enemies. So he's revealed as Lord, and he repays his enemies. He deals with his enemies. Now remember this, the Bible speaks of two comings of Jesus. So we have obviously his first coming, but then his second coming comes in two phases. The first phase is called the rapture of the church. That is talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's when Jesus comes in the air and he gathers up his own and he takes us to the Father's house. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so that is coming. We don't know when that is. I'm going to preach on that next week about the rapture of the church. But that is an event for God's people where he catches us out of this world and takes us to the Father's house, and we experience the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then that begins the tribulation period for those on earth. This event that we just read about is not the rapture. It's the return of Christ, where he comes to set up his kingdom on planet earth, where he plants his feet, the Bible says, on the Mount of Olives, and he deals with his enemies. At the rapture, he doesn't deal with his enemies, but he does at the return. Look at verse 6 again. "For after all, it is only just." God is a just God. "It's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution." That word retribution is vengeance. "Dealing out retribution, vengeance to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." Hey, when Jesus comes again, the Bible says he comes on a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. He wages war against his enemies. He pays his enemies with a just recompense. So notice some things about this second coming that Paul tells us about. First of all, grace will give way to perfect justice. When the Lord comes, he deals with his enemies, and the day of grace is over. We're living right now in the day of grace. And we hear the the gospel message and we can respond to the gospel message and we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And there's grace for us as believers, so we can come boldly before God's throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. There's grace for the sinner to receive the Savior. And the Lord allows the grace to last for a time. And then when people reject and reject and reject and reject and reject, then God says, no more grace. Now you have justice. No more grace. Now it's justice. I came to you to seek and to save that which was lost. I came as Savior, but you rejected me. Now I'm coming as judge, and there will be perfect justice. Now we get a picture of this in the Old Testament in the days of Noah, where the earth was corrupt and the desires of the hearts of men were only evil continually. And God said, I'm sorry that I made man upon the earth. I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. But Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord. And God told Noah, build a ship, build this ark, build this huge boat that's going to protect you and your family and that's going to protect the animals because I'm bringing the flood of judgment. Now, some of you have been to the ark encounter and you've seen how massive that ship was that he built, that ark that he built. It is huge. And there was room in that ark for all the animals, for Noah and his family, and for other people. But there were no other people that entered into the ark. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah was preaching to the people that God was going to destroy the world with a flood. And there was the ring of hammers in the background and the wrath of God in the foreground, and the people blew off Noah. And they didn't listen to his preaching, and they didn't want to respond. And the door of the ark was open day after day, and month after month, and people could enter. You know, that ark is a picture of Jesus. But they didn't enter. They didn't respond. And one day, God said to Noah, come into the ark. And Noah and his family came into the ark, and the Bible said God shut the door behind them. And then the day of grace was over. And after another week, it began to rain. Hey, God gives us grace, but if you spurn God's grace, all that's left is judgment. And so when the Lord comes back, grace will give way to perfect justice, and unbelievers, secondly, will experience God's holy wrath. God's holy wrath comes upon unbelievers for their sin and for their unbelief, and for the way they've persecuted his people and the way they've trampled underfoot the message of the gospel and regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant, as it says in the book of Hebrews. They will experience God's holy wrath. And it's horrible what it says that happens here. He comes with flaming fire. He deals out vengeance to those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to experience the wrath of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 13, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Cruel. That means fierce, harsh, violent, with fury and burning anger to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. You say, well, that doesn't sound like Jesus. That doesn't sound like the Jesus I read about in the Gospels. You're reading about Jesus in the Gospels who's on his first coming to seek and to save that which was lost, who's coming in grace, who's coming to draw people to himself. When you read about the second coming, you read about Jesus not coming as Savior, coming as judge. The door of the ark is closed and justice is coming to this world. It's right and it's just. It says in verse 6, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. That's just, and God is a just God. God is holy, holy, holy. God hates sin. And God is going to deal with sin. And your sins will either be pardoned in Christ or they'll be punished in hell, every single one of them. But God is going to deal with sin because God can't have fellowship with sin. God can't look upon sin with favor. And when the world goes the way it's going and it rejects God and just continues down the broad road, there's coming a day when the Lord says, enough. and judgment is going to fall, and they will experience, his enemies, God's holy wrath. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so he talks about two different classes of people. He said, dealing out retribution on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Those who do not know God, the Bible calls those people in the New Testament times, they would be the pagans. They would be the idol worshipers. You know, you had the Jews who knew the true God and worshiped the true God, and then you'd have the Gentiles who worshiped false gods. The Philistines in the Old Testament, they worshiped Dagon. Dagon was half man, half fish. He's a fish god. And they would worship that god. And other Canaanite gods would be the god of Moab, where they would offer their babies to this god as human sacrifices. People had all kinds of different gods that they worshiped. It said in the book of Exodus, the 10 plagues that God sent upon Egypt were against their 10 gods. You know, they worshiped the sun, and God blackened the sun for 3 days. They worshiped the Nile, and God turned the Nile to blood. They worshiped frogs. And God says, you like frogs? I'll give you some frogs. I'll show you about frogs. And all those, they were just bringing every god of Egypt, and it just comes crashing down. But those were people who didn't know God. They worshiped idols. The Thessalonians were like that. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, how you turned from idols to serve the true and living God. They responded to the gospel when they heard it, but they didn't know about God.
You would think in our world today, with so much Christian broadcasting, and in many towns, churches on every corner, everyone would know about God and Jesus and the Bible and so forth. Well, many do know those words, but they don't know anything about a personal relationship with the King of Kings or anything about His Word. But they need to, because there is a judgment coming, and it's so important that we are open and appropriately candid in our witness and not shy away from it because the PC police may squawk, or even worse. Today's message from Pastor Jaff was part one of the lesson entitled, Here Comes the Judge, about the second coming of Christ. And as we've heard, Paul speaks very openly and very bluntly about the second coming of Jesus in his letter to the church in Thessalonica. And in this brand new series called The Church in the Last Days, we also will learn about the rapture, Armageddon, the rise and fall of the Antichrist, and how we should be living today as Christians in a darkening world, and how we should prepare our own homes and hearts for what is to come. This new series is our thank you gift for your support from His Heart this month. You can get it on CDs, a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download when you make your gift online. Just go to fromhisheart.org. Or you can call us at 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, and make your gift when you request the series, The Church in the Last Days. These are eye-opening messages that will get you ready for the return of the King, and God bless you for joining us in this mission to tell the world about the love of God found only in Christ. Well, that's all the time that we have for this Friday broadcast. We trust you'll worship this weekend with a grateful heart and perhaps watch the From His Heart television broadcast this weekend as well on a TV station in your area or online. And be right back here with us next time for part two of Here Comes the Judge. That's right here on Monday when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.